pleasures of this world, we run to a glorious reward. The only name worth living for. Say, say, say you believe it. Sing for the whole world to hear it. We know and we declare that Jesus is King. Say, say, say you believe it. Sing loud, sing like you mean it. We know and we declare that Jesus is King. We set our hearts on what will last. Your word, your love, your faithfulness. Our hope is built on nothing less.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you're all having a great morning. My name is Michael Reese, and I'm the leader of the Praise Band. Good morning. I'm so excited to welcome you to worship at Asbury United Methodist Church. If you were over here, you saw our lovely usher helpers handing out the bulletins this morning that people of all ages can help out throughout the church. So that's just a little PSA for you. If you are free, if you have a little bit of time, hopefully that you can get involved. If you're looking for another way to serve the church and serve God and spread your love with each other as the service starts this morning. So we're talking about words. What do our words do? How do they make us feel? How do they make others feel? What kind of things are coming out of our mouths, out into the atmosphere? And what does it all mean? And how are we interpreting things that we're hearing? So I hope as we go through the music this morning and the scripture this morning, hope you're thinking about words, thinking about your words, thinking about others' words, thinking about the scriptures, and also thinking about how we continue to be children of light. So let's stand and let's begin with New Beginning. Let's sing together.
Hope never sets on heaven's skies. Your spirit leads me into your light. You make all things beautiful and bright. Your mercy dawns with the rising sun. Your spirit calls and my heart responds. Each day new. This is the start of a new beginning. This is the sign the tide is turning. And this is the song the saints are singing. Great is our God, great is His glory. Your love rains down, pouring over me. Your spirit waking my soul to see. Alive in you, You have set me free. This is the start of a new beginning. This is the sign, the tide is turning. And this is the song the saints are singing. Great is our God, great is His glory. This is the start of a new beginning. This is the sign, the tide is turning. And this is the song the saints are singing. Great is our God, great is His glory.
And let's sing together about the glory of our God and how we can overcome all together.
You have overcome, now the darkness flees. You're the champion, our victory. You have overcome every enemy. You're alive in us. You have set us free. This is the start of a new beginning. This is the sign the tide is turning. And this is the song the saints are singing. Great is our God, great is His glory. This is the start of a new beginning. This is the sign the tide is turning. This is the song the saints are singing. Great is our God,
great is His glory.
You have overcome, now the darkness flees. You're the champion, our victory. You have overcome every enemy. You're alive in us. You have set us free.
Amen. That song, two and three. That song takes my breath away every time, literally and figuratively. So we'll take an opportunity to breathe together as we sing a song that was introduced again to you last week. Let the praises ring.
Oh Lord my God, in You I put my trust. Oh Lord my God, in You I put my hope. Oh Lord my God, in You I put my trust. Oh Lord my God, in You I put my hope. In you I find my peace. In you I find my strength. In You I live and move and breathe. Let everything I say and do be founded by my faith in You. I lift up holy hands and sing, let the praises ring. Oh Lord my God, to You I give my hands. Oh Lord my God, to You I give my feet. Oh Lord my God, to You I give my everything. Oh Lord my God, to You I give my life. In you I find my peace. In you I find my strength. In You I live and move and breathe. Let everything I say and do be founded by my faith in You. I lift up holy hands and sing, let the praises ring. Let the praises ring. Let the praises ring. Let the praises ring.
Amen. Let's take that opportunity now to let our praises ring with each other, to our brothers and sisters, and let's take an opportunity to pass the peace of Christ with each other.
Good morning. Let's try that again, guys. Good morning. I knew you had it in you. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Heather Dorr, and I serve with Pastor Tom Carver here in the back, and he's bringing us the word this morning as we continue our sermon series, The Power of Words. And as we get started, I'll just lift up a few announcements, a few connectional moments to help you get connected here at Asbury. Our ushers will be passing around the attendance pads. I ask you to register your attendance with us. Helps us to know who's here so we can best care for this congregation. And if you're a guest, if you give us your information, we can follow up with you and we can get to know you. And that's great for us as well. And speaking of guests, in 2 weeks, we'll be having a newcomers gathering. So we do this every quarter at Asbury between worship services. And it is the first step to membership, but it doesn't mean that membership has to follow. It's just a great way for us to get connected to people who have started visiting at Asbury or people who want to know, I've been here for a long time, what's going on? Or want to get connected to new people and new things going on. And so it'll be happening downstairs in the treehouse between worship services at 9:45 in 2 weeks. And everybody is welcome to come, but we most especially want to reach people who want to learn more about Asbury. Second announcement is that same day in the afternoon, we'll be doing an anointing service here at Asbury. And so the Trinity Hospital System has a parish nurse program where they have a course, and they've just changed it a little bit to open it up to not just people with nursing backgrounds, but other backgrounds as well are invited to learn more about what it means to holistically care for a congregation and all sorts of wonderful things. We have two great parish nurses here at Asbury, and we're about to be adding a third member to that team, Cheryl Ewert, who comes to us with a social work background, and she and six other individuals went through this course over the kind of the summer and the fall, and this will be the kind of graduation final step in that. And so there'll be six people who will be anointed from different churches and different groups, different people who want to give back to others and improve the health and well-being of our community. And so we're excited that we get to host this event. And we're excited to welcome guests. And there will be cake as well. So I hope you can join us. You can welcome Cheryl to the team, enjoy some cake, and hear more about this amazing program in the Quad Cities. We have one more announcement that I'm going to let Thierra come up and give. And why don't you use this purple microphone right here, which might be off.
I'm Thierra Smith. I am the manager of the Friendly Thrift Center, which Asbury has been a part of for 50 years. You were one of the five founding Methodist churches 50 years ago. And this has been an ongoing ministry and has grown year by year, and we are in a transition period now. At the end of April, all of our officers are going to be resigning. And so we have been searching. We found a replacement for our treasurer, but we need help in the management of the place. We need help with display, with keeping records on the computer. And I am so in hopes. Asbury has been so supportive of the ministry for so many years, and I'm in hopes that you will find it in your hearts to help with this mission. If you have an interest, if you want to put your name on a card here, you can contact me, or if you want to come down to the center and see what it's all about. We serve over 1,000 people a month, and customers that come in and buy things at really nominal prices, because we are an all-volunteer mission, and that we have over 125 or so vouchers every month where we give clothing away and household goods for free to people that are in need. And then at the end of the year, because we're a nonprofit organization, we give away any excess funds that we have, and we've been giving away over $40,000 a year. So you can see it's been a very valuable mission, and we're in hopes that it will continue. And so please let me know if you have an interest. Thank you. We are open 9 to 1, 6 days a week, so you can come in anytime and see what it's all about. Thank you. please keep us in your prayers in the next couple of months as we make this transition. Thank you.
Friendly Thrift Center. How many have been down to volunteer, help out the Friendly Thrift Center? I mean, it really is a great thing. And Tierra, what a ministry that you have led, and Carolyn before that. So it's really a great connection of our church. So a transition time, but it's going to be a good transition. At this time, I want to invite Mary Jo Olive, if you'd come forward. And if you would like to follow along in your hymnals, you can turn to page 33. The words will also be on the screen. But Mary Jo is ready to be received into the membership of our church. And so, Mary Jo, welcome.
Thank you.
It is my pleasure to introduce Mary Jo Olive. There's information about her in the bulletin. And she's actually transferring her membership from the Kelowna United Methodist Church. But we'll take this as an opportunity to renew her vows, and you'll have a chance as well. And you might see in the front here, we actually also had a baptism this morning at our first service. Henry Caswell, the son of Erica and Andy Caswell, grandson of Pat and Pam Thornton. It was coming. Yeah. So Mary Jo, welcome. So we'll kind of follow through on the slides here. You can kind of see the questions that I'll ask. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
And do you accept the freedom and the power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Okay. And then, according to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, answer, I will.
I will.
Okay. Now, I have a question for all of you, the congregation, members of the body of Christ. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, answer, we do. Okay. And will you nurture one another in the Christian life and faith and include Mary Jo now before you in your care? Let's all say together, with God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround Mary Jo with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in her trust of God, be found faithful in her service to others. We will pray for you, that you may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. And so, will you, as members of Christ's Universal Church, will you also be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, answer, I will. And so we've been through the Church Universal, the United Methodist Church, and now Mary Jo. You've reaffirmed all of that before. Now this is the new part.
Okay.
As members of this congregation, the Asbury United Methodist Church, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, answer, I will.
I will.
Members of the household of God, I commend Mary Jo to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church, by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And so, Mary Jo, welcome.
Thank you.
God bless you. Yes.
Always a blessing to welcome. Always a joy to bless or to welcome new members to this congregation and to have a baptism. I know we all came here with things that excited us and lifted us up this morning, or just being here in worship has lifted us up, and we all have things that are weighing heavy on our hearts. If you'd like to share a joy or a concern, our musicians are bringing around microphones. You could stand or raise your hand. We got two of them over here, and we can all be in prayer together.
Hi, I'm Andy Erickson. We've had a lot of loss in our extended family in the last week, I think it was. So our brother-in-law lost his grandmother, our sister-in-law lost her grandfather, and then Rebecca lost her uncle this last week. Mm-hmm. So if you can be in prayer for all the people affected, that would be great. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Marilyn Mitchum, and I'd like prayers for the family of Mary Sue Friedel. They were our dear neighbors and friends the 3 years we lived in Georgia, and Mary Sue died on Friday evening. She was a person, she had the worst case of osteoporosis I have ever seen. She lost 1 foot of her height with it and was confined to a wheelchair, but she had a wonderful positive attitude and focused on what she could do and how she could bless others. But her family, of course, is heartbroken because this came on very suddenly. So, Mary Sue Friedel.
I'd like to share just prayers for the family of Walt Jindrasek. He passed away last week, a longtime member of this church. The visitation will be later this afternoon from 2 to 4 over at the McGinnis Chambers Funeral Home. And then the funeral will be tomorrow morning at the funeral home at 11 o'clock. So Walter and Joanne were the first couple to get married in the Asbury Building. That would have been the Fellowship Hall, you know, in 1953, I think. And so they've been a long time important part of this church, and so we remember the Jindrasek family, and especially for prayers for Joanne and the three daughters and a son, grandkids, as they celebrate, rejoice in the wonderful life, the gift that Walt was to all of us.
I have a joy up in the balcony. Today is Jesse's birthday. He's 11 today, and that's always a great remembrance for us because there was a time where even him making it to one was in doubt. So 11 and healthy and maybe a little too healthy some days, but that's a big joy.
All right, not seeing any other hands. We're going to offer these prayers to the Lord. We're going to have a moment of silence. I'll offer a prayer. And we'll share together in the Lord's Prayer. Wonderful God. We thank you for the gifts of this day. For whatever this day has already brought and whatever this day promises to bring, the good and the bad, the difficult and the exciting, the ordinary and mundane. We thank you that you have given us breath in our lungs, the ability to move and go, and to come here to worship, to be among others who are seeking to live a life of faith. We lift up to you those that we know and love, and maybe even people who haven't spoken up who are struggling, those undergoing transitions, those mourning the life of someone they loved, those battling diseases of the heart, and the mind, and the body. We lift them up to you this morning and pray that you consecrate them. They may feel your presence and your love and your comfort, and that you give us aid to love them as you love them, to comfort as you comfort, and that through our presence, they may feel your presence. We thank you for celebrations of birthdays and anniversaries, of time with family and loved ones, and of the simple pleasures of a day spent with you, O Lord. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, the one who taught us to pray when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our first scripture reading for this morning comes from the letter to the Galatians. We're in chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God.
Awesome God, your voice was heard at the baptism of Jesus, and your words made the connection to claim him as your beloved Son. Help us to listen for what you seek to say to us today. We ask that you touch our hearts and minds so that we will make a connection with the people around us and use our words to develop a community of beloved children of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We have come
with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
So we're in the second week of our sermon series about the power of words. Last week we talked about the power of words to create and how God created the heavens and the earth by speaking, by first saying, let there be light, and there was light. This morning we want to continue by the story of now looking to Jesus' baptism. Last week we talked about Epiphany and remembered those wise men coming to Jesus, and we shared the star words that we'll be referring to again as the weeks go on. But this week many people also look to the baptism of Jesus as a continuation of the story, and how Jesus came to John the Baptist to be baptized by him. And you'll see that John the Baptist, his mission was to prepare the way for the Lord, but he was very reluctant for Jesus to be baptized by him. And yet Jesus insisted, said, we need to do this to fulfill righteousness, to set the right example, to show that John's message of calling people to repent, to change their ways, Jesus would set the example by being baptized as a way to show that repentance and that openness to become more of what God would have us to be. And so this is the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3, and I'm going to start now at the 13th verse. Then Jesus came to Galilee to John at the Jordan River to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Well, this is our reading from the Scriptures, the Word of God for the people of God. Well, again, we're thinking about the power of words. And this week, especially, the power of words to connect, to define the relationships that we have with other people. And sometimes we don't realize how much power that we have in those words to do that. Let me give you an example. Take a look at these words here. I, you. Think about what words you could put in there and what difference that would make. For example, here's I like you. Or even stronger, I love you. Or, you know, all kinds of words. I adore you. But think also about what that connecting word, the power of that one word, that in between those two, how it can have negative effects as well. It's hard to even put it up here in this sentence, but I hate you. Think of the power that that word has to affect that relationship. Relationships are everything. And our words can help connect us to other people and define that relationship. I can't leave that up there. How about I enjoy you? Think of all the other words that you could place there to define your relationship with someone else. That's what we want to talk about today, the power of words to connect us in our relationship with God, and also to connect us with the people that we share our lives with, the people around us. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we have gathered today to open our hearts to your word, what you would say to us, to your Spirit, to your very presence, to your love. And we pray that as we seek what you would say to us, we would then be open to what you would have us say to others and how we can use our words to continue your mission and to share your love in Jesus. We pray this and we look to you now in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, I have to share with you, I'm excited about sharing this message with you because I love charts and graphs and PowerPoints, and I've made this really cool PowerPoint that I want to share with you. But it's up in the top, and the clicker only works from about this far. So I'm going to click it, but I've got to come up here so I'm within range. And we don't need to do the power, it'll show up. Save the lights till the message there, Mike. Okay, so here's I want to talk with you about the communication process and how we use words to define our relationships with other people. So it's the communication process, but it's also the power of words to connect. Now, you don't have to look at me because I'm back here, but, you know, you look at the screen or however you want to. Okay, so to begin with, human beings and God, I think, one of the ways that we're like God is that within our minds, we have both thoughts and feelings. The light bulb is a way to kind of represent ideas or thoughts that we have, and the feelings, the heart, to represent the emotions that we have. We read in the scriptures that God obviously had thoughts, had ideas, and he used words to express those, but also it says God had feelings and emotions of love, compassion, concern, even anger, who God is. And if we're created in the image of God, one of the similarities that we have, unique to perhaps any other creature, is that we also have thoughts and feelings. Okay, so I want to, if we have that outline of that head, to represent God, and that God has thoughts, so we'll put the thoughts in God's head. But you know, God's thoughts, surely all that God knows, that little simple light bulb doesn't really do it justice. Okay? So I found something, a little bit more, the awesome wonders of God, how complex and wonderful. There's a light bulb that represents thoughts, but it's a little bit more, a little bit more ornate, a little bit more suggesting how intricate and complex God's thoughts might be. Now, also feelings, but you know, I'm also kind of thinking it is so hard to separate thoughts and feelings that they really almost go intertwined. I'm not sure how you can separate them. For example, if I were to say to you, I'm going to talk to you today about spiders, some of you would think, oh, that's very interesting. And some of you would go, ew, I hate spiders. That it's almost impossible to separate our thoughts from our feelings on the inside. So I want to represent that by combining them into one symbol, one image that is both our emotions, our thoughts, and our feelings. God has those, and I believe we as human beings have them as well. Okay, so here's the idea. How do we get to God's thoughts and feelings when we're in a relationship with somebody else? I mean, just like any person, how do you get their thoughts and feelings? I mean, there's the ideal thought that you can just share it, and you know, their thoughts, and we understand each other completely, but how realistic is that? I mean, especially we know as people how hard it can be to really connect with what's on our inside. But let's think of this process now of how it works with God. God first has thoughts, feelings, and puts them then into words. Words. There it is. You know, some way to form those thoughts in a way in which then they can be then conveyed to someone else. They've got to be transmitted. That process involves taking the thoughts, the feelings, putting them into words or symbols that then can be transmitted to somebody else. But part of the issue is whoever is receiving it has their own filters and their own understanding. And so the words that are spoken or written have to go through the process of whoever is receiving them. And that kind of can alter what they understand. So that when the receiver has in their mind what they've heard and what they've thought and recreates trying to get to the mind that was in God, it might be something like this. It's there. It's not wrong. It's just not as full, as detailed, or as awesome of what God's thoughts were. Okay, you following me so far? So people who have a relationship with God and connect with those thoughts and their feelings, it's a process something like this. Now let's say then another person comes along. How do they also connect with the words and the feelings and so on. The same process has to happen. Whoever that person was, they've got to put their thoughts and images into words, spoken words or written words, which we'll say like the Bible. And then those words also have to be transmitted. They've got to be written down. They've got to be literally translated. And so it depends on the paper, the ink, the process over thousands of years that they're delivered. And then whoever's receiving them, they also have their filter by which how they understand their life experiences that goes into that process of decoding what was originally intended. And when they reassemble what they thought they heard, again, it's something it's there. It's not wrong. There's thoughts, there's feelings, but it's not exactly the fullness of what God had in mind or what God, you know, knows from God's existence. Are you following me so far? Okay. Give me a wave on that side of the congregation. Okay, we're good. All right, now let's say it happens again. The next person comes along. The same process has to happen. Who's ever had those thoughts has got to put them into words, spoken words or written words, symbols, some way to kind of convey that so that it's transmitted to the next person. They hear it. It goes through their filter so that they, ways that they can understand and so on. And so when they reassemble what it is, it's not wrong. There's thoughts, there's feelings, there's a light bulb, there's a heart, but it's not exactly what God had in mind. Now, that kind of, in my mind, it shows how the power of words to connect us, but also the challenge. When we put words or our thoughts and feelings into symbols, into words, and then they've got to be reinterpreted and recreated in other people's minds. And so you can see where, you know, God ultimately is infallible. God knows everything. And yet the same words, the same thoughts from God can be understood and interpreted and applied in different ways as people hear it. Okay? Now, here's the other side of that. We're talking about the written words of the Bible, the scriptures, how that gets passed on. But there's also something in Jesus we read last week in the Gospel of John where John wrote that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And he goes on to say then that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You see, this concept is that the Word or those thoughts of God became in the flesh in Jesus. And so the cross is meant to represent Jesus. That Jesus was God's Word or the thoughts and the feelings that God had and put them into Jesus. The life of Jesus reveals to us what God was thinking and what God was feeling. In the way he lived, in the relationships that he'd had with other people, that he was willing to give of himself for the sake of others, even to the point of death on the cross. Now, part of what we remember and celebrate is that Jesus rose from the dead. He was alive again. Somehow, miraculously, he appeared to those disciples, and then he sent his Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, to continue to be with the followers even after Jesus ascended. He's no longer physically, his body appearance is on earth. So the idea is that the Holy Spirit then, the writers of the Bible, the people who experienced God, have a direct ability to connect with God's Spirit directly. And unlike, you know, in the game about telephone where you tell somebody something and then they tell somebody something and they tell somebody something, and over time it gets more and more, you know, different or corrupt. The other side of that is here, each person has the opportunity to have a direct relationship with God through Christ and the Holy Spirit. And so while there's different understandings or different interpretations of what God might be saying and how we apply to it, there's the potential for us also to connect with Jesus directly and God's Holy Spirit so that when we hear Jesus say, love one another as I have loved you, we know he's talking to those disciples, or we've gotten written words he was talking to the disciples. But we also can have the sense, the feeling that he's talking to us and that God's Holy Spirit is with us as well. And the words that Jesus would have experienced at his baptism, where he was baptized and again using words that he heard in a voice, we don't know exactly how that happened. We know Jesus would have come to John the Baptist, he would have baptized in some form in the Jordan River. And then somehow the heavens opened up. Now, how can we really understand what that's like? The gospel writers were using words to try to describe something that was indescribable. But But it says the heavens opened up and the Spirit of God descended like a dove. Was it a bird? Did it have feathers? I mean, we can't know exactly what it was like, but we're hearing words of people trying to describe God's was there, and now here comes the words. There were words that Jesus heard. And those words were, "This is my son, the beloved." It seems like those words come right out of Psalm chapter 2, I think verse 7. That again, words that had been written previously that now are being heard again. In this context, Jesus hearing God say, "This is my son, the beloved." Those words defining their relationship. And a thought, an idea that you're my son, you're connected to me, and with you I am well pleased. My son, the beloved, I love you. There's feelings. There's emotions. God is saying, I'm well pleased with you. Jesus hadn't done anything yet. He's at the beginning of his ministry. He's just being baptized. He's just getting started. And already God says, you're my son. I love you. And you make me happy. Wouldn't that be great words to hear? The power of words that Jesus experienced with his Father, with God, in his life. And we have the words now to hear it as well. Now, we know through Jesus' life, his teaching, he embodied what God was thinking and feeling. He was the Word made flesh. He healed people. He fed people. He listened to people. He walked with people. He cared for people. He challenged folks. But ultimately, he was willing to give his life for others, even to the point of death on a cross. And he would tell his disciples, again, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. As the Father has loved me, that's why I love you. And with my Spirit within you, your mission is to go out and do the same. And love other people as I have loved you. And forgive other people as I have forgiven you. And use your words to develop those relationships and express what I'm thinking and feeling on the inside. Now, I think that's part of when a later follower of Jesus, the Apostle Paul, who originally was a persecutor of the church, he didn't believe in the gospel or didn't believe in Jews, but he also had a direct connection with Jesus when one day on the road to Damascus, Jesus appeared to him in a bright light and said, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" He said, "Well, I don't know. Who are you? I am Jesus. I'm the one you're persecuting." Saul became a believer. He had a direct connection. He followed Jesus. And Saul, who became Paul, then wrote several of the words that we use as scripture. And here when he's writing to these Galatians, he's telling them, again, trying to get at what's on the heart of God and what God is thinking and what God is feeling. And he's speaking to them in a sense of, you know how it used to be? You lived under the law. You lived under the words of what you're supposed to do or not do. But now faith has come. And it's faith, a belief that Jesus has brought to us, that tells us we're loved, we're forgiven. And when you accept that by faith, then you're a part of the family. You're in, you're with us. And what that means, and I think Paul was trying to say, so you know how it is, if you look around, there's Greeks and Jews, in other words, like there were Gentiles and Jewish people, that was one of the divisions that people experienced. There were slave and free people, that was another division. There were male and female. And Paul was saying, look, there's no longer Gentiles and Jews, or slave and free, or male and female. But now in your baptism into Christ, you're all made one, and you're connected now to one another. Now think of that for a moment. Did that mean there were no longer any Greeks or Hebrews? Did it mean there were no longer any slaves or free people? Did it mean there were no longer male or female? No, they continued to have those distinctions. But I believe, I'm trying to interpret, I feel that God was trying to say, but they know those differences no longer need to divide you. And instead of seeing someone as the other side, to be united in Christ and to be connected to one another and to be able then to use your words to affirm that in your relationships with each other. Okay, we're thinking about the power of words to connect us, to define our relationships, to help each other understand what's on our hearts, our minds. But it really isn't as easy as it seems. Sometimes we can use our words and they're not understood. Or we're saying one thing and people hear something else. depending on their background, their lifestyle, or whatever. So as much as I like charts and graphs and PowerPoints, my wife Linda likes Little House on the Prairie. So she has seen every episode, has memorized every episode. But I do want to show you a clip from Little House on the Prairie that describes kind of what the challenge, how hard it can be sometimes to really communicate with words. So let me set this up for you first. This is the friends of, good friends, the Garveys of Ma and Pa Ingalls. And Mr. Garvey is of the mindset that it's a man's job to work and to raise his family and to provide for them. But they've had some hardships. The barn burned down, and they had a bad crop, so he didn't have enough money. They're struggling to support his family. And his wife said, I'm going to get a job down at the post office. They need workers. I'll go get a job that'll help the family. But he's been like, no, it's not your place to have a job. That's my job. It's my responsibility to provide for my family. I'm going to do it. And she's like, but we don't have the money. I can help. I can do this. I'm going to take that job. No, you're not. Yes, I am. And so it kind of progressed, as you can imagine, down that path until now they're ready for a divorce. And so the scene here is the Garveys with their son are before the judge, and Ma and Pa Ingalls are there just to be supportive friends, but they're getting ready now to proceed with the divorce proceeding. So let's watch this clip here.
Ask your mother.
What, Ma?
Tell him it's because I'm a failure. I'm useless. A man can't provide for his family. He ain't got no right to be a husband.
I never said that. I never even hinted that I see you that way.
Did too.
When?
Lots of times.
When?
You telling me I didn't hear those accusing things you said to me?
No, I'm not. I believe you heard them. I just never said them. I think you block out my voice and put in a voice from your own head.
Now that's really great. Now you're telling me I'm crazy.
There, you see? I never said you're crazy. You just said I said you were crazy.
I didn't.
You did too.
I said you said.
I said that you never hear what I say.
Well, I'm hearing you now.
Then what did I say?
You said I'm crazy. Charles, I don't see nothing funny.
I'm sorry.
You better tell me why you're laughing.
She didn't say you were crazy. You said you were crazy.
Well, what did she say?
I don't know what she said.
What did you say?
Okay, so do you get the point? The power of words to connect, but also the challenge that it can take to really get at what the other person is thinking and feeling on their inside, and how we really have to work at that. Okay, the other side, did you notice here at the end? Emotions are contagious. As Charles was able to see kind of just the perspective, he started laughing, then they started laughing. Your emotions, other people catch it. If you're excited and happy, other people will just naturally catch it from you. And you need to be aware, if other people are down or depressed, you will maybe catch it from them. Emotions are contagious even without words. So here's your assignment. To listen for the words that God might be speaking to you. As you read in Scripture, I mean, read the words of other people's experience, how God was speaking to them. Let those words speak to you. You know, last week as well, for Epiphany, Pastor Heather had prepared those star words. And there's still the baskets on either side if you didn't pick one up last week. But the idea was there were 300 different words that she put on those stars. People were invited to take one and just at random and just see what that word was and invite or be open to how God might be wanting to speak through that word or consider that word. I've heard many stories already, as well as my own, about, oh, my word was liberty. There's at least two times this week where that came up significantly in my life or that I thought about, and it's like God was maybe wanting to help me think more about liberty and how to live that out and what to share that. So if you didn't pick up a star word last week, you can pick one up at either basket. And all year long, just think about what that word might be. Already I've heard a number of people saying, God seemed to be wanting to tell me something about that. So that's the power of words to connect. And not just, to listen for the words of God, the words of Scripture, but also how God would connect you through the living Word, through the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the very presence of God to come to you in relationships, in your prayer time, to direct connectly to where God would want to say to you about your life, about your experience. And it might be different than what other people hear. And that's why we kind of need each other to keep us on track, because sometimes we also might misunderstand or bring our own biases and prejudice and misinterpret what God might be wanting to say. But bottom line, I think we can be assured that God is saying, I love you, and you're forgiven, and I want you to love others and express that love to others in your words, in your smiles, in your handshakes or hugs or the things that you do for other people. And in so doing, as we share God's love with others, as God has shared with us, be a part of what God is doing for God's kingdom to be here on earth as it is in heaven. That's the power of words to connect. Amen. Well, at this time, we want to share the tithes and the offerings that you might have brought to express our continued devotion and thanksgiving to God. So our ushers will bring forward the plates, and if you've got a tithe and offering, you can place it in that, and we'll prepare then to continue our worship.
Offering this morning, as we sing the song together, we ask that you sing with us and use this as an opportunity to pray and to reflect as well.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes? is to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. I'm finding myself at a loss for words than the finding is me so.
You know, one of the cool things about listening for the Word of God is like, I wonder what God is going to say. And that's where we're at this week, to listen for the Word of God. And I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm kind of excited to find out. How about you? Would you stand now to receive the benediction? And now as you go out into this world, know that God indeed loves you, claims you as God's precious child, and in Jesus Christ has given himself for you so that you might know you're forgiven, you're loved, and when you feel that very presence of the Spirit within you, it'll be contagious, and you can use your words to share that love with others. And so the blessing of God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Holy Spirit and the Son go with you now and always. Amen.
There is freedom in your kingdom. For you, Jesus, we will be dancing forever. Your word is our song. Forever your word is our song. Wake up, open your eyes, no longer dead, we are alive. Rise up, children of light, open the doors, go let it shine. Oh, 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 oh. Everything changed when your love came into the darkness. You sent the light of the sun. You sent the light of the sun.
Have an awesome week, everyone. We'll see you next week.